Hello and welcome to episode 36 of A View from the Dugout with myself, Chris, from Sarah on the Budget. And I'm joined by the ever jovial and ever happy and ever less miserable than 3 seconds ago, Russ from Scotland Surveyor. Russ, how are you today, sir?
I'm all good, but I'm having loads of tech problems. And yeah, that was just, this must be about take 7, isn't it? Let's be truthful.
It's got to be somewhere in that region. We just did the best intro that we've ever done. And unfortunately, as I threw it to Russ, the tech gods did not want him to reply to it because it was so perfect. He'd already been chanting during the middle of it and all sorts. It was tremendous fun. However, we're back. We seem to be technology issue free. So let's see how we can get on for the next 10 minutes, perhaps, and take it from there, Russ. So, yep, let's get going. How was your game week this weekend, Russ?
Well, I think I'm probably in a situation the same as many other people. High scoring teams, and I'm looking and I'm thinking, oh, should have some decent rewards. And it's clearly not happening because it's been pretty freaky weeky.
Yeah, very high scoring situation this week. I think you're sitting at the moment just shy of 350 points. I think it's within half a point of that. And it's looking likely that's an all-star. And it's looking likely that you might miss out on the card there, which is wild when you look at the, you know, the bigger scheme of things. I mean, 350 points. I had a look back for the 5 or 6 weeks before the winter break there. And it was about 330 to 340 on a week-to-week basis that you were needing. So that bumping up by 10 points is quite substantial, eh? So, but also I noticed, obviously, you're challenging Europe, 361 points, and you're not even in the top 250 with that score. So it just shows you how competitive it's become. And I'm wondering, obviously, I didn't actually see the numbers of entries, but you're wondering if this is a knock-on from the World Cup, you know, the recruitment that they did and people hanging about and now playing in some of these competitions. And yeah, just pretty wild, eh?
Yeah, the Challenger Europe's a good example because 360 points or 300, it's actually almost 362 points. I look at that and think, that's a good score. I'm looking at my team here, and just to break it down, we've got Xander Clark on 88 for a goalkeeper. I could count on both hands the amount of times I've had a goalkeeper in the game in 2 years that's probably scored more than 70 points. Rafa Gicevic at Augsburg was probably one of the ones that I think was the first guy that probably ever scored 100 points for me. He scored, I think it was 2 weeks in a row or 2 weeks out of three. But I'm looking and going, right, Clark, 88 points in the Hearts goal. Decent start. Joe Newell and Kevin Nisbet, a combined 174 between them. You know, you're looking and thinking, that's a really, really solid base. It's dark green scores, what everybody loves to see when they log into their Surveyor. Sondre Johansson at Motherwell, pulling up a 61, decent enough score, light green. I'm looking going, this is good. And then Blair Spittle, who, you know, has slightly let the side down with a 38 score and it's not green, but I'm still looking and going 362 points. Even this is on Saturday afternoon, I'm looking thinking, yeah, this is decent. And I'm sitting at the star. I was sitting within the star limiteds at that point. Got a couple of group chats and things going, just with a couple of local guys and stuff. And we're all looking at our teams and going, yeah, this is looking, you know, decent enough. And to be sitting here on the Monday, our new recording day, and I'm sitting 260th, like you say. I'm not even in the top 250 players. It's saying here 260th out of 7,977 in Challenger. Right. I'm guessing, though, that might be slightly higher. There might be some teams in that haven't scored anything that would obviously be, you know, duplicate and all sitting on that position. But then, obviously, All-Star as well, 20,000 in limited All-Star.
So, yeah, I think it's probably looking at an increase on numbers. I would actually have to go and verify that. That might be a wee post later in the week. Just having a look at those actual numbers. But I'm just, I'm on the leaderboard at the moment, Russ, and first place in Challenger Europe Limited. I don't know, have you seen what the score is?
No, no.
Or would you like to hazard a guess at what the points tally is?
478. 479. Oh, well, not bad. I genuinely hadn't looked, honestly.
Yeah, 479.09. And to be in the top 10, you needed 428. So, yeah, it's fairly substantial, eh? I mean, and it's, you know, yeah, the boys got a few big players in that team. Teddy Tierma, Every time I see that name, I just think of Kindergarten Cop. It's Narutoma. He's got Cockchew, Odgaard, Geertruida, and Anthony Morris in the goal. So it's a fairly substantial team there for the better part of 480 points. So it is going to show that the competition has been really, really heavy this week. And I think, you know, overall the scores have been a lot, lot higher. And my all-star team was 330 points. And I mean, what am I showing as? I'm 699th. I'm a full 20 points behind getting a card. We're a score of 328.9. So it is quite substantial that the, you know, the points tally that you need to pull in there. I'm on the bubble on the tier twos and specialist limited as well. So yeah, it's definitely been a tough week when it comes to the overall scores. But nonetheless, more ETH for the pair of us. I think we both obviously have crushed through the higher ETH and would have done under the new capped method as well. My team was eligible, which I just like to check just to see what the points tally is. So yeah, it's showing that it would have been 2 weeks in a row with the new points cap that I would have hit the ETH anyway. So looking forward to a couple of weeks to see if that does continue. Obviously, this midweek, Russ, coming up, no All-Star, purely because the only licensed leagues that are playing are the Jupiler, the Scottish Premiership, and the one game in Croatia. So because of that, it's only Challenger Europe games, so they've only opened Challenger Europe. But a wee bit of a downer. That has meant there's a huge number in there now already. I think it's about 12 or 1,300 that are in there in terms of the number of entries already. So that might hinder the chance of getting cards, or is it people still just putting in the three or four cards they would have done for All-Star? I guess we'll have to wait and see tomorrow when the numbers all crunch.
Yeah, I think I'm a bit disappointed, to be fair, that there's no All-Star, because obviously there's still that opportunity to win the ETH midweek, which I feel is maybe slightly unfair from the platform. It's been truthful. You know,
yeah.
Why should there be no All-Star when there has in previous weeks? I know, albeit that they might have just had All-Star and Challenger, but yeah, it's still taking the opportunity to get a wee bit more, again, liquidity in the platform. I'm pretty damn sure that the auctions will continue this week.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm having a look back, because obviously at the new year, there was All-Star was open.
Yeah,
when it was just like Scotland, but there was actually, do you know what, there was champion Europe, because like Spain was playing or France was playing, so that meant there was the two competitions. But it's, as you say, it does seem a wee bit unfair, because to be honest, my five, I would have put in All-Star. I would have put that in All-Star over the Challenger Europe, because I just think securing that, as we've always said, it's a competition against yourself. You're picking those five players. Can they get the 205? Can they get the 250? And yeah, I would have felt more confident going into that. I've got a decent team out in midweek. I've also got my wee Croatian stack in limited as well. So just have to see how that goes, eh? But yeah, I would have liked to have seen the ETH on offer in All-Star, especially with it coming to an end in, what, a week and a half?
Yeah.
So it would have been good to get a wee midweek bit of action in that one. So, but how are you set up for this midweek then?
Yeah, pretty similar to yourself. Obviously, I've actually provisionally done my teams for once. Obviously, been off on a Monday, it's given me a wee bit of time. So I've got a team for Challenger Europe, a team for Underdog and Limited, and then I've actually got four teams across Rare and cross super rare. So Challenger Europe, Underdog, Specialist, and I'm opting for Challenger Europe Pro rather than the the super rares in their own right.
Yep.
And I'd looked at it, and again, like you say, well, that's, I'm just looking here now, the Challenger Europe's up to 1660 on my screen here for 115 right. cards, but the Challenger Europe super rare, 91 entrants now, but there's only 8 cards, and that just, I think that's a bit light. Underdog, if you've put in for that, it's 15 rares and 10 limiteds up for grabs this week, and there's over 1,200 people.
Yeah, I'm seeing
in for that. That's it's needle in a haystack stuff. That. So yeah, I suppose just from the perspective of kind of this week following on from last week, I know that there will be lots of players that have maybe built teams in relation to this week in the hope that they could definitely win ETH or they had a really, you know, a better chance of getting cards. You've mentioned obviously the fact that everybody that's got teams are bundled in the rares realistically to Challenger Europe in the main.
Yeah.
And that might have been spread out. Had there been an all-star competition, you'd maybe find it would maybe be 500 in Challenger Europe and 1,100 in all-star. So yeah, it's going to make things a little bit harder. What those teams are made up of, obviously we don't know until the game week starts. But yeah, I would have been probably quite optimistic of winning cards this week myself. But now I'm looking at the entrance and I'm thinking, well, you know, it's kind of in the lap of the gods. And fingers crossed that it's not quite the same sort of level of scoring as the weekend, and that maybe that it was just like a sort of freakish week in the fact that, I don't know about you, but realistically, and across all my teams, and I've always had this kind of number in my head that I know that, you know, you score 250 points, you know, in probably 50 out of the 52 game weeks, 52 of the sort of actual weeks of the year, you're not going to be anywhere near it at the weekend on 250. But if you score 300, you start to look. And I think if you score 325, like I think what you'd scored there over the weekend, round about 325, 330, I genuinely am expecting more often than not to be kind of at the tail end of the cards. So to be 350 and be at the tail end of the cards, you know, and immediately breaking that down and just doing my maths and going, right, wow, that's 70 points a man. And, you know, it doesn't feel like four, five, maybe 6 months ago that we were going, trying to identify players that are scoring 50 for our following and for the guys on Twitter and the guys that listen to the pod and things. It feels as though it is maybe getting slightly more difficult. And is it now, I pose the question, and you, give me your thoughts on this, Chris, I'd be quite interested, but is it the time that if you're sitting with 25, 30 rare players, maybe a lot of them very much budget, maybe one superstar in there, but you don't have a playing goalkeeper, what do you do? Is it the time to sort that out?
Yeah, you're not going to win anything in the capped competition. In my honest opinion, with four players, you might get a freak week, but without the bonuses and without the captain bonus, you're not going to do it. Just plain and simple, you'd be looking at needing all four players to get decisives. And bearing in mind you're playing with a cap, I just don't see how that's going to work. If you're sitting with 25 to 30 players and no playing goalkeeper, you need to get that down to like six or seven and buy a playing goalkeeper, because if you do hit the ETH on, you know, four or five occasions, it's going to pay for your goalkeeper and you've still got your goalkeeper there. Yeah. You know, it seems ludicrous to me that we're in that situation where anybody would be doing that unless you're specifically trading. But going forward from here, you are going to need a playing goalkeeper. And, you know, we spoke last week briefly about, you know, trying to make sure you get the backups because of the insurance basis of them and things like that. Now, granted, that might be a wee bit more difficult if you're trying to just, you know, wade down through your players. But there are ways and means. Obviously, you know, there are various traders, not just Pavel Trader. There are other guys there as well. Roddy Boss, Kato. There's some guys who are just doing it themselves as well. I had a really good deal yesterday on a trade, and the guy was only wanting 110%. So I can't even remember. I think his account name was Accept Trades 110%. And he had a fair few players, but he had two that I wanted specifically. So, yeah, you're going to have to maybe shop around and find that backup or a bargain on it. But look at what happened this week, Russ, where, you know, a captain of a team suddenly retiring out of nowhere. And that's you know, a playing goalkeeper gone for people. But if you had the backup, you're, you know, relatively safe. So, yeah, I would be looking at getting that number down, getting a goalkeeper in as quickly as you can before, you know, because the panic will set in. In 2 weeks' time, when people are looking at the game week and going, oh, you know, I can't compete now. And, you know, the warning's been there for a good while now, you know, since they made the announcement that you were going to need this. So playing for those thresholds and saving them up, if you've been spunking them on everything else under the sun, then that's, you know, so be it. But if you've been smart and you've been saving it up, or as Russ says, you can, you know, filter down the gallery a little bit to be able to afford one, then you know, that this is the time to do it before it gets maybe a little bit more expensive.
Yeah, I think one of the main things for me, and I actually seen it, I was selling a goalkeeper, and eventually did take a trade on it, sort of semi-reluctantly, but the guy'd been at me for a week. So I let Geechee Wich at Augsburg go last week. The guy sent me, I think it was a small amount of cash, and he had Fraser Hornby, who obviously I can use within my ongoing challenge. Obviously he's playing in the Jupiler League, but he is Scottish, so that was of use to me. And he was, I wouldn't say he was like on my immediate radar as a pickup because he's been injured, but I was happy enough to take him as part of the trade. And then we did a bit of a trade, and I'm being honest, I took about 115% because I think there was about five or six players there, and I knew I was going to have to sell them all, and I knew I was going to have to, if I wanted to actually realise the cash, I knew I was going to have to go cheapest on the market with them all.
Yep.
But within that, he already had 25 or 30 rare cards and not one keeper. Now, I had another two or three people actually in the same week offer me again, and I actually just out of interest looked at their teams. And there again was the fact that none of them had a rare keeper, but they genuinely all had more than, well, in this case, probably they had, all had more than 20 cards. So, yeah. You know, my advice, and I know that we both get asked this sort of on regular occasions, whether it be on social media or whatever, but, you know, if you're running with that amount of cards, now really is the time where you've got to kind of look and go, you know what, I'll sell these 10 guys at 0.025 or 0.03. And I'll buy the keeper. Simple as that. It will, okay, you're looking on your gallery and there'll be so much less cards. But like you've just said, you'll start to get a return. Maybe not every single week, but you will start to get a return. And the players that you've just got rid of, that you've sold, if you were so precious about them, you'll be able to go and buy them back.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm just trying to load up just now to get an idea of what sort of prices some of the, you know, the lower end goalkeepers are coming in. Just to see, you know, I mean, I know for a fact that there's been ones that I've looked at have been subbed. Obviously, ETH's taken a big surge in the last week, so that the prices have started to adjust a little bit to that. Let me just bring that up. I need to really put a price max in that. But yeah, it's very clear that, you know, you would definitely get them sub 0.3 for some goalkeepers, which still seems like a lot of money. You know, I'm looking at it now. A lot of the Russian guys, I mean, one that was a favourite of yours, Russ, Akinfeev, cheapest on the market is 0.28, which is what, about 330 quid or so.
Yeah, and granted,
he's got his age. You know, I mean, he is aging there, but you're not making a long term commitment to him. You're not getting married to him. Do you know what I mean? Just you take the money and you know, and move on. David Jensen, he got a 90 plus score yesterday.
He did.
0.26 he's sitting at, so like that's what, 300 quid. And I say that flippantly almost, and it's not meant in that sense, but it's for a starting goalkeeper who's playing every single week. Now granted, you know, some of these goalkeepers might either be aging or they might be in a relegation battle or what have you, but then that's up to you just to keep an eye on that as you go. And you know, sell them on when you're ready to sell them on and what have you. I mean, I've got one goalkeeper that's 37 years old, as obviously we know, David Marshall, but then he's also not ruled out coming out of international retirement, so I might get extra utility out of him there. There's Big Arnie in the video here, making an appearance, Russ's dog. But yeah, it's there are definitely keepers out there that could do a job for you, help you get to that ETH. And even if they go down, say, I don't know, let's just for argument's sake, say you get Akinfeev and he goes down to 0.2, you know, drops like 80 or 100 quid. If he's helped you earn £300-400 worth of ETH payments, then big deal if he goes down in value. You know,
I think with some of the newer base, Chris, that the newer player base, that I think sometimes guys are too hung up on surreal data value of my gallery overall. And if they're seeing the trends or the cycles, as we've discussed many times, if they're seeing it for the first time, you know, where they're like, oh God, I've got all these, you know, J League cards and MLS cards, and they were worth 100 and now they're worth 25. What's going on? My gallery's shot to pieces, and there's this panic. And obviously, we've been through it so many times that I don't honestly care what my Serie A data gallery value is. I don't care at all. I know that I've got most of the players that I want. I know that most of the players that I've got help me win at least the Ethereum on a weekly basis, sometimes twice a week. And I know that my cards, in sort of general, if they all kind of align, yeah, I can win cards. And that's been proven through both the challenge and both what we've done last year. But yeah, I think sometimes people get a little bit too hung up on it. I don't let it deflate me or excite me for that matter either. But you know, we're looking at the game as a whole, and the game has evolved a wee bit over the sort of the last 6 months, and there's no doubt that it has become a little bit harder. But yeah, I think it's a really good time at the moment to take a stock of your gallery. And I know that we do it all the time. And we're discussing that on the podcast, and we're discussing it on both our Twitter feeds on a regular basis. We're constantly evolving our gallery. You could look at either of our accounts on Serere, and there will be a handful, if you're lucky, of rare cards that are over 6 months old.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just one of those things that the game is evolving. You've got to be, you know, try and be proactive. You've got to try and move with the times. It's, you know, don't be selling up all your cards when they're at their lowest price. You know, if you can afford to do it, try and kind of sort of stick with them. But I also think that maybe there's been a unintentional sort of line in the sand, or a couple of lines in the sand for me that, you know, I'm looking now, and if someone comes to me and says, look, I'm thinking of finally joining Serere, and I know you've been playing for ages, and I know you've been harping on about it. I've got X amount of pounds. What do you think I should do? And to be fair, I had a guy just recently that's just joined, and he's just come on, and he played the World Cup game for free, and he's just, you know, he's just been keeping an eye on it. And I said to him, my honest advice to him was, if you're playing with sort of less than £350-400, my genuine advice is to play limited and maybe slowly but surely try and occasionally buy and pick up a rare card, but not with the intention of obviously playing that at the moment, unless obviously there's this new kickoff thing comes in. But if you're playing more than sort of £500, get yourself a keeper and then start to build up your sort of rare gallery. And I think that maybe is something that has kind of come out of the sort of transitional period that we do now almost have, the fact that I don't really think you can play rares with £250-300. You know, you're the master of making many, many threshold videos in the past couple of years and things. And all that time, obviously, the ultimate bonus was the fact that you were able to use either a non-playing goalkeeper, or even before that, even better, the casual goalkeeper.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't know what your thoughts are, but I kind of feel that it has now kind of, we do have a little bit of definition of, if someone says, I've got X amount of money, we've got a kind of a start base of what maybe the players should be playing.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I think it comes down, my first question is, what do you want to do with it? Do you know, are you wanting to play games every week and try and win cards every week? Or are you wanting to try and build up, you know, as big a gallery as you can? Because as we've discussed last week as well, particularly where, you know, looking at card return versus my trading return, for example, you know, what is it that you want to achieve? If it's 350, 400, yeah, you're going to struggle. But if you pick yourself up one or two, you know, regular backup goalkeepers that you can maybe get for, I don't know, 40 quid, and one of them becomes a starter, then great, boom, there you go, you get off the ground running. If you're willing to buy players now in advance of, say, you know, now maybe a wee bit late even for the MLS, because I know some of the prices creeping up already, but if you're willing to sit there on some of these Russian cards that aren't back for 2 months, you know, you're getting really good value in those goalkeepers. I mean, a world-class keeper like Akinfeev, for example, despite his age, would be a great pickup for 300 quid. Now, leaving yourself over £100 if it was a 350, £400 budget would be very difficult. But, you know, you could then use the rest of it to trade in the meantime to build yourself up a team. Or, as you say, Russ, go, you know, you could go deep into the limited ones. The one caveat I would go back to the limited ones is what you've experienced at the weekend there, where, you know, a really solid team picking up 360 odd points and maybe then only getting a £10 return if you're lucky. So it's weighing it up. You know, we both know that you know, our bread and butter was always All-Star when we started, because we wanted to build up that balance. So a lot of people, it's going to be the bread and butter is going to be the new capped one. But as you say, it's where, you know, where do you get that investment level to do it? So yeah, I don't know. It always comes back to down to what people want to achieve with it. To me, it's going to be a very interesting few weeks. Obviously, there was the test one that they ran, was it last midweek, for the cap. But because they weren't actually offering the threshold with it, who was realistically putting in their strongest team? And I think it was less than 5% achieved the thresholds. But my comment on that was, like I say, who's realistically putting their strongest team into something where you weren't actually going to be winning it from when the other competitions were? So it'll be very interesting to see how it gets tweaked. I don't think it'll be the final product when it finally, you know, when it goes live. I don't think what we start in 2 weeks' time will be the same in 2 months' time. I think it'll be tweaked significantly as it goes, whether they add back the bonuses, whether they add in a captain bonus, whatever they do, it won't be the same in 2 months' time as it is in 2 weeks' time. I think it'll be very interesting to see. But it's exciting times. It's challenging times. And I think we were maybe spoiled the last, you know, 2 or 3 weeks because the Scottish League was the main league that was playing in most of the game weeks. And we had an abundance of talent to go and put into those. And then obviously this weekend, it was like, here comes Eredivisie, here comes Belgium, you know, and some heavy scores. So, you know, adapt and overcome is, you know, what we've done since day one on the platform. So I think it'll be very interesting to see where that goes moving forward. But speaking of moving forward, Russ, on to our next subject. I'm trying to scroll back from all these screenshots of broken laptops that you were sending me to our actual plan for the day. There's been a wee bit of... we'll go with the licensing situation on Sir Air first. It was brought to light about 3-4 days ago that the Japanese J-League had dropped off the licensed leagues in the Sir Air coverage section, where it talks about the licensed clubs and the licensed leagues, and it had dropped off. And as it turns out, the license for producing the NFTs has expired in terms of producing the new season ones. However, Nicholas hasn't indicated in amongst all the, you know, what would you call it, the furore, the uproar about, you know, what's happening, you know, is it going to go away? Is it not going to be covered anymore? He's come in and said, no, we're negotiating it. Simple as that. And it's maybe the entitlement factor that people feel like, we need to know. And it's like, well, some things you can't know until it happens. So, that kind of brought to my attention, Russ, leagues that we'd maybe like to see come into the game. Or obviously, you know, the long speculated Premier League seems to be getting rumoured even more so about quarter one. You know, finding out a bit more about that. There was rumour that the deal was done in one of the press articles. So have you got any leagues that you would particularly like to see enter the game, Russ? Is there anything that immediately pops out? There's two to me that pop straight out.
Okay. I've got a couple that I would like to see added. Obviously, the English Premier League's been long mooted as being as good as across the line.
Yeah.
The one good thing, I think, I'd love to see that this quarter. And also, I think that will sort of vastly stimulate the transfer market as well, because one, it will bring on lots of new people that will want to play and have their team. But it'll also, we'll see maybe quite a seismic shift in the guys that have sat quite comfortably with Bayern cards and Real Madrid cards, things like that, that have been winning lots and lots of prizes in Champion, or if you're smart and you've got these European teams so that contest the midweek, so say like, you know, Real Betis, Frankfurt, these kind of teams that have been in the European competition, you might see a little bit of a switch, because obviously then, you know, there are some really strong teams and there are some strong scoring cards in that English Premier League, and they're not all just in the top teams. So yeah, really, be really keen to see that. I think that'd be great, and I'm sure many of our English listeners have been chomping at the bit for so long. You know, here's us having the luxury of, you know, creating podcasts and content and, you know, going on about Scottish cards extensively, but yeah, that'll be great for if you're your team's an English team, or you're English and you're down there and you've been waiting forever for your team. Fantastic.
Just on that note before you go on, Russ, do you think that will bring in some of the FPL players once they're actually getting players they've actually heard of, rather than trying to tell them about Yamato Machida playing for a bottom end team in Japan? Being able to say to them, look, you can actually now come in and you can get your Ward-Prowse or you can get whoever else. Do you think that'll actually be like something that pushes people over the line to get them onto the platform? I think it'll bring in maybe more casual players that just see Serrer and say, well, what's Serrer? You know, because the advertising starts appearing and what have you. Do you think it'll bring some of these FPL, the ones that are traditional players over at the platform?
I think it'll bring some. It's like everything else. There's household, the English Premier League is littered with international household names. So yeah. If you know anything about football, you could probably, you could ask your wife or your girlfriend to name 10 footballers in the world without any sort of precedent. Just name 10 footballers. And you'll probably find that out with maybe Messi and Ronaldo, there'll be other players that get mentioned. I know my wife would probably go like David Beckham. Well, just guys like that and things. But they're all associated. Most of these guys have been associated with the English Premier League because that's what our media loves to cover. And even our Scottish media, you go on BBC.co.uk's sort of football website and the first 15 articles are all English Premier League. And then you scroll and scroll and scroll. And then there's the Scottish section, there's the Welsh section, there's the Irish section. So the mass media that's evolved around it, yeah. I think for the casual, like the fantasy Premier League players, it's like everything else. I used to play these religiously and I used to play them in little sort of leagues with my friends and we'd have a league and we'd all be all guns blazing from August to October. And then after that, people stop logging in. You're 300 points behind and it's like, right, okay, I'm not going to win this now. So you stop logging in and you return to it when you're picking your team again the following season.
Yeah.
I remember sitting really, really high in the official one. I think I was honestly about 12th for two game weeks. And then obviously I tumbled like a stone when everybody else caught up and things. And I remember it having really gripped my attention. But even then, I didn't realistically believe I could win anything. And I never have. I've never played that game with all the football sort of statistics and quizzes and stato stuff and complete nerd fest that my life is in relation to football. I have never once believed I could finish even in the top 10 in the FPL. Because do you know what? Most of it is luck. Yeah, because we can all go and pick De Bruyne, Virgil van Dijk, Antony, Rashford, based on the fact that we all see them and we all know who they are. But it's having that uncommon factor. So it's picking up somebody that just has an absolutely great season for maybe a lesser team because no one else has got him. That's what makes the difference for me in those kind of competitions. So FPL, yeah, for me, as I say, it's one of those things. I used to look at it every season. I've not even drafted a team probably since I've been playing so rare. I've not even drafted an FPL team. It's of zero interest to me now. I know that things like the Telegraph and the Guardian and all these things used to do, obviously, dream teams after the traditional sort of red tops of the Sun and the Daily Record and things like that. But those guys still did them with quite big prize pools. But again, I can't see the fascination around them because I just think they're unachievable and realistically, I just don't think there's much chance of winning. So, yeah, I think the based just on the fact you mentioned about new leagues, I'm not going into any detail, but I would like to see the Australian League come in purely just obviously to spreading the geographical sort of demographic within the game. I think it'd be quite interesting. It would open up a few Scottish cards for me, which would be quite handy as well. I'd like to see that, for obvious reasons as well, the Saudi League, regardless of the whole political thing, I'm purely thinking football, I'm purely thinking Ronaldo and the Ronaldo factor and just the fact that there will be interest around it. There are also some other cracking sort of players in that league as well. And then there'd be loads of gems to be unearthed. So I'd quite like to see the Saudi League. And I don't think it's going to be too much longer before we maybe see, like the Swedish League or maybe the Chinese league maybe in its entirety. I know that there are some players in the game, and some, I think there's one team in the game at the moment for China. But that's my thoughts. What are you hoping to
Yeah,
see or?
the two that I'm expecting to see at some point this year will be Australia, and I think that'll fall into the Asia League, and Saudi, I think, as you say, and as I think I put in my New Year post on Twitter, that I think the Ronaldo effect will mean that, that's going to be part of kind of what they look at, trying to expand the, they are, trying to westernize their view of the country, whether well, I won't go into it. I've got my own views, obviously. Same with what had happened at the World Cup, but I think it could certainly spark a little bit of interest. And other than maybe obviously we knew Martin Boyle went there, when a players go there, we never really hear of them again because you never really see much of it until they come back to Europe again or wherever else. I think I seen yesterday somebody had posted that both the Saudi League and the Australian League have the full Opta coverage. I think it's level 12 or level 13 or something like that. So they have the full coverage, which is actually much more than obviously we've seen countless times with Peru or Chile where, oh, we don't have full coverage. It's going to be 40-20 or whatever, for players. So it's, yeah, those are two. Some of the more obscure, well, not obscure sounds dismissive, but some of the leagues like Poland, you would be fun, some of these type leagues that we can, an old favourite of yours, a league you used to love in old Football Manager days, Romania. Some of these kind of Eastern European leagues that, some of these big teams come from these, like you've got your Legia Warsaws and, Krakow, the various different teams that you could look at. And I've got big histories, Steaua Bucharest, this kind of thing, you could actually start to pick up players for. So I think some of those, and as you mentioned, obviously some of the summer leagues in Europe, like Sweden and what have you, that you can maybe continue Challenger Europe all year round rather than it cutting off in May or June. So yeah, I think some of those would be quite fun. And I think we will get there. I think we will get there. But no, that was just a wee side bit when I seen that, just in terms of what speculative leagues we could like to see. Just on that note, there is I will actually change the wee Q&A. There's a Q&A on the podcast on Spotify now, where you can actually reply back, and it comes straight through to the pod. It doesn't go public to give feedback or that sort of thing. But I'm going to put a wee poll on that one just to ask, what leagues would you like to see? So if you're on Spotify just now, you can click on that and send us through what you think, what leagues you would like to see. And if there's any we've missed, we'll maybe pick those up next week, Russ. So I think that could be a wee bit of fun there. Speaking of fun, very quickly, we'll touch on this, Russ, because it's obviously been a topic of conversation in the Serie A community before we get onto some Scottish news. There was a wee bit of an uproar again. One of the guys that does the lineups for Turkey is part of the Play Sharper. There was obviously speculation around it. I'd seen it, I think what many people had seen it, around Bilal Beyazıt, I believe is how you pronounce it. That's how I'm pronouncing it anyway, Bilal, my mate Bilal. Him getting dropped and potentially a backup coming in his place because he had a few ropey games. And I think there was one of the games he had two errors leading to goals or what have you. So he'd had a fairly rough time of it. And it probably was going to be, an opportunity for it to change. Initially, when the lineups came out, there was no alternative to Bilal. He was 90% starter, which, as we've said, all along that means there's 10% chance he doesn't start. Nobody puts down 100% on a player because you do not know what could happen. And there's a 10% chance he wouldn't play. He then went in and revised it down to 30, down to 70%, with the backup being a 30%, which on the surface I think would have been fair to have put that completely. What was maybe a wee bit different was the fact that the lad then went and bought 33. I'm laughing, but I don't really care. He bought 33 of the backup between limited and rares. Now, having put up that it was a 30% chance, this is where people are having, getting their knickers in a twist about it. Was he being transparent? I've got a wee slightly different slant on that. Had he put, that he this backup was actually 70% chance to start, and Bilal was 30%. Wouldn't he have driven the price of the card up? and being able to profit off of it quicker. You know, if that was the case, if there was that much shadiness and underhanded to it. Now, obviously, it maybe doesn't look good. But what really didn't look good was the lad got banned because he loaned one of the backups to a friend and then instantly sent it back. It's one of these free of charge transactions that's going to flag up if it's going backwards and forwards. It's that'll come under especially an associated account. That would come up as collusion. So it's not a wise thing to do. Loans are perfectly acceptable. You can go and read their terms and conditions and you could debate that to your blue in the face. But morally, would it have been right, wrong, in your opinion, Russ, for the guy to have bought 33 of the card? The word is basically that, you know, people are speculating he had inside knowledge to that. And before we go to that, I would counter that again with something you mentioned on last week's pod. Is it any different from a professional footballer trading or sending all of the card of himself to Pavel Trader on the basis of him moving club to a non-scoring league? Because like, technically, it's insider information. Is it any different from that? I would say no, it would come to the same thing. So anyway, your thoughts on that, Russ? Obviously, you'd play sharper. I don't know how much you want to say on it, but I felt when, you know, something we should address.
Yeah, I'm quite comfortable speaking about things because obviously I've just got my own opinion, and it's my opinion. It's not associated with, this isn't on behalf of, whether it be, you know, myself or the pod or play sharper. This is just, yeah, this is just my opinion. So first and foremost, I've seen it all. I've seen the uproar and I understood some of it. Like you say, I was openly speaking, Bayezat was a former keeper of mine. I used to hold three of them and I sold two of them for significant amounts of profit when he got his sort of move, and I sold one probably for less than what I actually bought him for. So I've held three. Now, it was only probably about 10 days ago I was having a conversation with one of the managers in game. That's been around, local lad that been a friend for 20 odd years, and he was on about potentially buying him because he'd noticed he'd had a few ropey games. He doesn't have any Turkish cards to my knowledge in his gallery. He just had noticed that there was an under 23 keeper. That's what had sort of flagged it for him. He said, you know what, this keeper's, you know, been thrown into Pavel Trader a couple of times. And this is before all this came out. So we were openly having a discussion, and I had noticed that, I think, I'm just looking here at Bayezat's goals that he basically had conceded, and he had conceded, I think, from December since coming back, he'd conceded three against, just looking here, it's Giresunspor, I think is how you pronounce them.
Yeah.
So he conceded three against them. He then conceded another one, which isn't a disaster. That's just normal. Then he had conceded another one, three against Alanyaspor. And then there was the four against Karagümrük. So obviously those seven goals that he had conceded in a row there, basically in the space of 4 or 5 days, I think is what basically alerted it to. I don't think you've got to be a genius. I'm looking at this all the time. We've mentioned this with guys like Ross Laidlaw conceding five. Will the keeper change? When Dundee United conceded seven in Europe and then conceded nine, you know, does the keeper change? Well, fingers are going to be pointed when any goalkeeper concedes more than realistically four goals. If you concede four, you know, more than three or, you know, three games in a row, it's not just the defence, let's be honest, normally. There's going to be goalkeeping mistakes in there. But like all football players, they're only human. They're open to error, whether it be, you know, discipline, tackles, saves, missing open goals, you know, missing sitters, blah, blah, blah. So for me, I don't think it took a genius to look at that and think that Bayezat may have been dropped. Another prime example, Liam Fox, the Dundee United manager, I was about to call him Liam Smith, who's a Dundee United player. Liam Fox came out when the Scottish Leagues returned after the World Cup, and his exact words were that he intended giving both his goalkeepers, he was really happy because he felt he had two number one goalkeepers, Mark Berigiti being one, and Carl Johan Eriksson, of which I hold the super rare, being the other. His exact words were, "I'm really happy to have two number one keepers and a plan to give both an opportunity at the restart." We are now six, 7 games in to the restart, and Carl-Johan Eriksen has not seen the light of day. So you can kind of look and go, well, he doesn't pick the team. So, the play sharper Turkey guy, the first and foremost, he seems relatively well connected from what I can see. And I'm not sitting scrutinising it or anything like that, but he seems quite good with his predictions in the main. His actual teams, and I'm not following them now nearly as closely because I'm doing the Scottish Challenge, but Turkey was a league that I quite liked. I still hold Jackson Maleka card, I had Enis Bardi up until recently. I think I had probably about 5 or 6 cards, so I was keeping an eye on it. A couple of friends have got the guy Gürler at Istanbulspor. So yeah, I do kind of browse on it. And his work seems to be, in my opinion, generally pretty good. Now, I don't know the guy personally. Was it a big call? Yeah, fair enough. Could he have inside information? Well, yeah. I know that occasionally I get inside information sometimes from players or things. Do I share it and spill the beans publicly? Not really, normally. So maybe the way that he went about it seems to be that he actually did his business privately. And I know that's maybe not the answer that people are wanting to hear, but he went basically, acted on that and did his business in the fact that he thinks, well, do you know what? I think this keeper does have a chance. But let's point out one really, really major thing here. He did not sit down on the Saturday morning and pick that team. No. You know, it's like everything else. If you're a professional player and you're sitting in the dressing room and the manager's reading out the team lines for the day, the team lines are generally submitted, what, an hour and a half before the actual kickoff. And regardless of how much information you've got, you know, he still didn't pick the team. So the downside being, you know, I do play sharper, and I had Eriksen, for example, as 25% chance straight after the restart, based on what the manager has said publicly. Okay. So I'm looking going, right, Birigiti seems to have the gloves. We'll give him 75. I've also done it recently with Samuel Walker at Kilmarnock, who got back in at the expense of Zach Hemming. And I had Samuel Walker running at about 75%. I still was giving Hemming a chance because I wasn't fully convinced that they've fully decided on the number one. I recently, as an example, Kel Roos had 3 quite ropey games for Aberdeen. He's had now some good games, but, you know, again, I brought Joe Lewis into the sort of 15, 20, 25% category for 2 of those games on Play Sharper. Why? Because I'm sitting watching the game thinking that Kel Roos hasn't been playing great. Joe Lewis is still a very capable goalkeeper. Could there be a change maybe for one game? If nothing else, maybe just to spur Kel Roos into excellence or perfection. These things happen in football all the time. So yeah, we'll see what comes of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the difference there though, obviously, is you buying one of a card is different from buying 33 Joe Lewis's. If 33 Joe Lewis's appeared in your gallery, we would probably suspect there was something up there, and I'd be fucking furious that you hadn't messaged me so I could get 33 as well. Podcast would be off the air, people would be furious, and then a week later they'd forget about it and would move on, because today's news is tomorrow's chip paper, as the old saying goes. Yeah. So yeah, I think I'll be honest, I messaged the guy, and I kind of felt everybody was piling on, and I can understand, you know, people's frustrations with it, you know, feeling, you know, deceived or what have you. Don't forget, Bayezid had been the number one for a while, and Changing goalkeepers is massive. But obviously the speculation is that he's had the inside information to give, you know, to go and buy 33 of them. I don't think the debate is, take the 33 aside, you know, if he's got a 70-30 and the change goalkeeper, what can you do about that? Nothing. That's just, you know, you've said, you know what, I think there's half, you know, well, not half a chance, there's a third of a chance that he might play. Mm-hmm. Then that's fair enough. That's, you know, you've covered, that's why you do alternatives in a lot of positions, because, you know, sometimes, you know, there's not always a fixed 11 for every team unless they've got a minute squad. So yeah, I don't think it's maybe necessarily that debate. I think the buying a 33, and I also think there's, you know, people get a wee bit, you know, I see it sometimes like, man, I wish I'd knew about that, because I'd have piled my money into it as well. You know, and I think we all want more money. And that's, you know, when you say you wish to win the lottery, you mean you wish you had £10 million. You know what I mean? That's, it's just one of these things. So, yep, I'm hoping that people get by it. At the end of the day, I think people need to remember at the on the other side of that Twitter account is a person. And the piling on, yep, you know, he's taken his licks. He's been banned from SO5 for 15 days, I think it was, or whatever. Okay, done. Let's move on. And I hope he doesn't get, you know, booted from Play Sharper. I don't know if he has or hasn't. However, if he goes alone and does his lineups on his own elsewhere, I would be looking at them because they were pretty solid, as you mentioned. So, yeah, that was my take on it. Sorry,
one final point on that as well. Okay, so say he'd made Bayezid and Gonan 50-50. What happens if the public then, who are looking at his lineups religiously, and they're thinking, you know what, we've got confidence in this guy, he's pretty good, and no one can get 100% on the lineups. You know, I'm always very happy if I've got 9 or 10 out of the 11 starting, because I genuinely know that the starters that I've missed, unless there's been a late injury, or they've been made unavailable for whatever reason, that the guy that I've missed as a starter will probably come on as a sub. And if you've got them, you know, I think I run on about 95% for match time for the whole season, you know, from my selections. But if that guy had went 50-50 and just say everybody had piled into, like you say, into the boy Gonan, the backup goalkeeper, what happens if he doesn't get selected on Saturday and everybody's piled in and spent £200, £250 on the goalkeeper and they're still sitting with a backup goalkeeper? So, you know, it's got the coin flips two ways, doesn't it?
Yeah, and like I say, I mean, if the goal was obviously to mislead, you know, or what have you, I mean, if he had gone the other way with 70% for the backup to start, wouldn't, like I say, that would have driven the prices up, and he's got 33 of them. So that would be doing it, you know, in a you know, I'm going to just say that if you put out a team lineup for midweek and you put Joe Lewis as a 90% starter, people are going to go and buy Joe Lewis. That's just a fact. That's what's going to happen. Because 100%. People won't go and do their own research. They will go on basis of what you say. And it's a frightening situation. I've seen it when I've posted up players, you know, that, you know, there's a move here, or I've just picked up this player, and you can go and look at Serie A data and see five of them go off the market. It's a scary situation, because that clearly, somebody buying it that quickly is doing it on the basis of what I've said, what you've said. I've seen it today because I've got my team lined up for midweek in Croatia, right? And I'd done a fair bit of research because I traded to get one of the Croatian goalkeepers, just so I had a full lineup from that league. And I happened to notice that, well, I'd seen he'd been sent off in the cup, but I did not know that that carried over. I didn't see anything where it said that carried over. It carried over to the league, and he's suspended. So I picked up the backup, and I was told by countless people that wasn't the case, but I knew it was right. But there was today, people who have been buying the number one choice are now selling the number one goalkeeper for about 10, 15 quid cheaper and limited than he was 4 hours ago, before the Croatia guy, or the Croatian lineup guy, put the lineups out. So people will automatically jump based on that. So I think that's worth bearing in mind. As always, always, always do your own research. Don't rely solely on what goes on Play Sharper as being the gospel. That for me is a check. I've said that to you, Russ. I've said it on the podcast before. It's a check for me. Have I missed a suspension? Have I missed an injury? That sort of thing is what I do with it. I don't go on it and go, oh, this boy's 90%, I'm buying him. You know, do your own research, guys, on that one. But also, as I say, bear in mind, at the end of the day, there is a human being on the end of that Twitter account. And you know, some of the stuff was maybe, you know, going a wee bit far with a lot of the stuff. And to be fair, we're a few days down the line. He's been suspended. He's not been able to capitalise on those cards. So let's move on, yeah, and carry on. So speaking of moving on, Russ, Scotland. Obviously, there was a few games at the weekend. But coming up this weekend is the Scottish Cup, not scored by Serie A. So all the Scottish cards are going to be dormant. Where does that leave you for the weekend? Have you actually got a team for the weekend, or have you not looked that far ahead yet?
Well, obviously, I was looking at the midweek, which is fine. So I've still got something happening this week, at least for the challenge purposes. When I looked, obviously, again, like, knowing that the Scottish Cup was coming up, I knew it was going to be a barren week, because for the challenge. Now, I could still throw something in underdog or whatever, but obviously I can't count it in my challenge. It won't be in relation to my gallery figures, etc., things like that. Whether I do or not, I don't know. You know, I was looking there, just had I not had, say, for example, a Blair Spittle in, and I'd maybe put in one of my European cards, I think I would have been third in one of the competitions. It's kind of the sort of lesser of a necessary evil at the moment that I'm still sitting with some European cards that I'm trying to sell at quite a decent price. You know, I'm not open to offering the fact that I'm away to give the cards away. I'm not here to do that. They've been bought for a decent price. But yeah, I'm going to have probably a quiet weekend, but hopefully, as I say, maybe something to report through the midweek. But yeah, we'll see what kind of comes of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's it. So the Scottish news for this week, I mean, have you got any transfer news or anything you want to drop on people? Obviously, I think the one that's just come out just before we started recording was Elias Melkerson, all going on loan to Sparta Rotterdam. So a rare move out of the Scottish League where it's not a Red Cross for us.
Yeah.
He's going to continue there, whether he starts or not. That's up for debate. But I have seen that there was an option to buy in the contract. And I don't know if you've seen anything on Twitter whilst we've been recording, Russ. But I think the guy's name is Barry Anderson. I think he's the head reporter for the Edinburgh Evening News. He's very reliable for his details. Apparently, that option to buy is £1 million.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen that.
So let's see if when he comes back to Hibs then. Because I'm not sure that, you know, based on performances, he's worth that. But maybe a new system, a new manager, a bit of stability. Could it get out of him, Russ?
Well, there was a fee paid for him when Sean Maloney signed him.
£350, I believe.
Yeah, to be fair, £300 or £350,000, which is a lot of money for a Scottish club. He did come, I believe, I think it was with a guy that we mentioned last week. I think it was Runar Haag or Runar Haag. I think they came as a pairing, if I remember correctly. However, yeah, he's not really set the sort of the heather alight, as you would say in Scotland, or the world on fire, if you say everywhere else. At Hibs, and in particular this season, and obviously Martin Boyle is now back, and Nisbet's back, and you've got Kuherovic and Eli Yuan, Harry McCurdy arguably can play up front. He played up front in lower league when he was at Swindon. So yeah, there are options there for Lee Johnson, as long as Lee Johnson is the manager of Hibs as well. Probably worth adding. I did notice that Livingston signed from FC Haka. They signed a new centre-back, DeLucas. So that maybe will add fuel to the fire of the rumours around Obalai. I know that Aberdeen were kind of loosely linked with going in for another centre-back. And obviously Obalai was one that was mentioned a couple of weeks ago in the press. I don't know if there's, you know, what sort of to what extent that could be true, but certainly it was out there, so there was a wee bit of smoke. So I think that was two of the sort of the main confirmed rumours, sorry, confirmed transfers today. There's obviously been, all the rumours have continued to go on. Ryan Porteous, will he, won't he? There's been a few new clubs obviously linked with him, including Blackburn Rovers now. Just from the sort of perspective of, in relation to what I do on the lineups, etc., as long as Ryan Porteous is in Edinburgh, he will play, I think it's fair to say, Chris, for Hibs.
Yeah, I would say that's the case. I mean, he is key for them. However, you know, if you've watched the games in recent weeks, you will see that it's been quite a shaky backline at Hibs. I honestly think Lee Johnson doesn't see February out. But yeah, if he's there, he's going to start. I've literally this second, there's been an update for the Jake Doyle Hayes situation. Apparently Bristol Rovers are now interested in him. Okay. That's just a new one. I think that's Joey Barton's team.
League One.
Yeah. So that's another, I mean, it's still the same type of clubs that are kind of going around them. But yeah, I think that there's also, We did just comment, it's only purely on forums and things like that, talk of Paul Hanlon being told he's free to leave, but where that could be, who knows? I'm surprised by that one, to be honest. The back line of Hibs did not look good on on Saturday in their game against Dundee United. I feel if it wasn't for David Marshall, they'd be in real trouble. But yeah, I think it's quite interesting to see some of those. Obviously, I think there's going to be other clubs looking at things. Aberdeen are probably going to need to look to strengthen that back line even more so now after their cup semi-final exit yesterday with the red cards for Anthony Stewart. It seems both not only the fans who were obviously furious, but the manager also seems to be very furious with that. So could that spur some things on there? And another one at Aberdeen was obviously Christian Ramirez. Looks like he is on his way. One of the newspapers reporting that he was spotted at Aberdeen Airport with his family today. The rumour is he's on a 3-year contract and it looks like Columbus Crew were that anonymous club. But we'll see what happens there. Obviously, he did really well the first half of last season, Russ, didn't he? And kind of fell off the scale because obviously I had him as a main striker. But then look at Majovski, first half of the season done really well, and then he's been slow. I think all the scores are yellow for those last five there. So it is a case of, you know, Aberdeen I think are going to need a wee kick on to get back up up in the winning ways again. So there's not been an awful lot more confirmed beyond that, Russ. I think there was a couple of rumours at Celtic, obviously Jack Amakis. I'm going to potentially Urawa Reds with double pay, and I think it was £5 million was the fee. But then also seen an old favourite of mine, Thiago Santana of Shimizu, being rumoured with Celtic from there. A Celtic fan, a friend of mine, said, you know, he was unsure about that one because a lot of the players that they've brought in are slightly younger and, you know, mid-20s or so, and with resale value. And he was wondering if they did bring in a 29 going on 30-year-old, what resale value do they have on that one? So he was maybe, you know, saying that would kind of go against, you know, their signing policy at the moment, which I think is probably a fair comment when you look at what they've done over the last 18 months or so, I think that would be fair to say. But they would still be in a market for a striker. It doesn't look like the South Korean lads come in, which, to be honest, I'd have told him to bolt a long time ago now because it's been, you know, a cat and mouse thing and it's all in the press. And I think it's Jisung Park is his agent. And it's all been in the press. I would have genuinely told him to bolt a long time ago and looked elsewhere because they are playing every club publicly in the press on that one. So, yeah, I don't have any other rumours at the moment, Russ, unless there's anything you've seen.
The only thing, what I have done on the Scotland Senior website, I've created a transfers page, which hopefully will help people. There were a couple from last Monday, which would have been the 9th of January.
Yes, indeed. Rich, yeah. You've got good maths.
Yeah, so on that last week's pod, I mentioned that John Mahon of St Johnstone would be a possible exit, and he has, of course, went and exited 4 days after the pod. He's left St Johnstone and went back to Sligo Rovers. I think that was actually his first club. It wasn't who he joined St Johnstone from, I don't think, but it was his first club, I believe.
There was one on that one, Russ. That was a guy that they paid a fee for as well.
Yeah.
And then a year later, he's away for free. So again, maybe, you know, you can look at the signing policy and who's doing it and what they're doing with them, because you bring in a guy and you pay, you know, six figures for, I believe it was £100,000 they paid for him, and he doesn't, you know, he just gets shipped back out the door a year later for no money.
Not played this season either. No scores.
Yeah, definitely.
Nohan Kenna, sort of Hibs, sort of defensive midfielder, been in and out of the team, has obviously joined Ross County on loan. I would expect him to start getting some sort of more regular game time at Ross County in that midfield. I even predicted that he would come on in 75 minutes, and he did at the weekend. How's that for a crystal ball?
I know. I used that fantastic gif of Luis Scolari, I think it was. With the oof. I put that on there because that was a good one. Yeah, 75 minutes exactly.
Yeah. Apart from that, though, not much else happening. Certainly not that affects the cards. I will endeavour to every night just jump on for 10 minutes and update the transfers page just so that people can kind of keep an eye on what's happening. It is sort of split into cards gaining utility, cards losing utility, cards transferring utility. So Melkerson, for example, would be one where he's staying in Challenger Europe, albeit just a different league and a different club. So yeah, I'll try and keep on top of that as best as possible, but that's pretty much all I've got for Scotland this week.
Fantastic. Scotland this week. This sounds like some sort of 6 p.m. news program. Scotland this week with Ross from
Wow.
Scotland's area. Yeah,
Wow.
so that's it, guys. Nothing much more to add. We've probably gone a wee bit over where we're normally allotted time, but I think we've covered off a lot of the key points. As I say, I'll put a wee poll onto the Spotify feed. So you can send back what leagues you'd maybe like to see, and also give a wee bit of feedback on the pod if there's anything you'd like to see more of or hear less of. We can maybe look to see if there's anything like that that we can adapt. But thank you very much for all the listens. Last week was one of our biggest weeks, and it was great to get back onto the Apple Podcast charts there, Russ, as well. A couple of new countries: United Arab Emirates. Must be people on holiday. And South Africa was another new one we've hit the charts on. So a truly global podcast. So thanks very much, guys. Take care, and we will speak to you all again next week.